fighting for America.
From 1996 to 2005, we ran a bond every 2 years. We opened a school every year up until 2009 because that's what it takes to keep up with 1,000 new kids a year.
Fighting for Idaho.
Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. All these guys had to work with was a smooth bit of sand, a sharp stick, and their brain. They turned out some pretty good work.
Fighting for you.
It's that time of year again. Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic.
In the summer tradition, throw a blanket down in the park with your family, eat a donut, drink some coffee, have some milk, watch the balloons fly off the ground.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Dude, I appreciate everything you do. You're a great American.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller live from the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Let's go live to Atlanta. Mark Johnson joining us, our great friend from Channel 7. Excellent coverage yesterday, the day before. Last night, I heard you going back and forth with Dee Sartin. Mark, your thoughts on last night's game, sir?
You know, disappointing, Kevin. Disappointing, really at halftime when it was 7-6, you're thinking, hey, just like we talked about yesterday, they're going to hang in this thing. They're going to have a chance in the fourth quarter, and anything can happen. And suddenly it really got away from them. It, you know, the size and the power of this SEC team really, really shone through in the second half and outmatched. Really, that's the bottom line. Boise State was outmatched in the end.
Mark, you've been with this team for quite a long time. You've seen the ebbs and the flows. Is there any other way to put this? Where do you think the game plan went wrong? Again, as you said, 7-6, very close, and then the dam broke.
You know what, Kevin? I think it just boiled down to the fact that Boise State is a young team that is going to be a good squad. They're going to be a good team in time, but right now, an SEC team.
All right, I think we might have lost Mark. That's the okay. See, this is the great this is the great thing of live radio here. I think we have Mark back. Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, we might have. Okay, there he is. I'm sorry we lost you there.
Well, that showed you the difference between an upper echelon SEC team and Boise State, young, and they're a talented team, but they just can't compete with the likes of a 340-pound defensive linemen that are as fast as our quarterback, for crying out loud. Did you see Grant Hedrick trying to escape the grasp of those guys that were 300 pounds and they're flying around the ball? Those are NFL defensive ends. And in time, Boise State is going to be good. You know, I think we're going to have to give Brian Harsin and his coaching staff a little bit of slack and a little bit of leeway. In time, they're going to be good, but right now, they were, you could see last night, Kevin, they were outmatched.
Mark, there's been a bias against Boise State from the Power Five, if you will. You've covered this. Chris Peterson with Brian Harsin and others overcame that. Do you think that the brand could be damaged enough that this might be the last time we see them with a quote-unquote big-time TV kickoff classic against a traditional power?
That's a good question, Kevin. I asked President Bob Custer that last night, and, of course, he is leading the crusade from the mid-majors in America. Bob Custer is at the forefront of that crusade to strike down what the Power Five conferences, the SECs and the Pac-12s and the Big Tens and the Big 12s of the world are trying to do. And really, those conferences don't want Boise State to play in the Chick-fil-A game to get $2.1 million. They want their teams to play in that game and to get that money. But Bob Custer is trying to make sure that college football doesn't change. The Big Five wanted change, obviously, for obvious reasons. They want to pay their players. They want to make sure that their product is at the advantage, and they want the mid-majors to go away. I think that there will be a time in our lifetime where the Big Five do break away, and we won't be playing in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And that's disappointing. And so, yeah, this might be one of those fleeting moments where we say, hey, enjoy it while we had it. We played in a couple of these kickoff games, big money games. But I don't think it'll be the long-term situation.
Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7 live from Atlanta at 580 KIDO. How was the feel of the game? You've been to all the big games. You've covered those things. Did it have that same excitement? I know watching you and Jay and Caroline, certainly you brought that to us. But your thoughts on the game, perceptually wise, was it? Did you feel like a changing of the guard there, if you would?
A little bit, Kevin. There were 33,000. Think about this. In a stadium that seats about 60,000, it was half full, 33,000 there. Only about 5,000 Boise State fans, so you think about that. Broncos Stadium holds now almost 36,000, and there were fewer there last night than there will be for the BYU game coming up in a few weeks at Boise State. It was a big-time atmosphere, but it wasn't a big-time look. When you looked around that stadium and the whole top tier was empty. So, no, to answer your question, it was a big-time stage, a big-time atmosphere, but it was definitely not a big-time look with 33,000 fans there. That was disappointing.
Mark Johnson with us, 580 KIDO, as we continue on. Mark, I know you're pressed for time, so a few more, and then we'll get you out. By the way, how are you guys holding up? Again, a lot of work, a lot of travel. People say, oh, you're only on for such and such minutes, but those hours it takes, the travel, it's got to be grueling.
Well, you know, Kevin, you've been on trips like this. You know, you've been to the Middle East, and you know you got to get up in the morning, you got to spend the entire day. But it's very rewarding because you feel like you're doing something. You know, you're talking to the fans that have made the trip out here that are having a great time. You're talking to the players. You're talking to the players' families. Matt Miller's parents are amazing. Here's Matt Miller, one of the senior stars of this team, the co-offensive captain, co-captain, I should say, from Capital High School in Montana, and his parents have made every single game, and we kind of feel like we've bonded and formed a friendship with these parents who have made every single trip, and here we are going to Laramie, Wyoming, and Logan, Utah, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and San Diego, California, and Fresno, California, year after year after year for the last 5 years. And you get to see these people and what they go through with these kids. And very few of these kids are going to go to the next level, as you know. These kids aren't going to play in the NFL for the most part. And if they do, they're going to be second or third stringers. But what these parents go through and to form that friendship and that bond with the fans and the parents, it's really rewarding, Kevin. And the long hours and the long days are really worthwhile.
Mark, a final thought before we let you go here. Brian Hartson, a local kid, replaced the irreplaceable not only in high school but now as a coach. What do you think's going on in his mind? And again, it really, look, I'm a cynic, as you know, but it really wasn't fair that he, you know, jumped into this as far as, you know, again, a young team out there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we're not talking 4 years ago. We're talking a totally different concept here. But what do you think's going on with Brian Hartson? People are so proud of him, so excited. You've covered him extensively. Your thoughts?
Well, as you know, I've covered him since he was in high school. I've known his family for a long, long time. His dad, Dale, is a good friend of mine. And look, he's going to have a long honeymoon in this town. He's brought back coaches that want to be here, that have, well, they have a relationship with our community. Guys like Mike Sanford, who played here, and guys like Marcel Yates. These are the offensive and defensive coordinators who are Broncos and who love Boise. I talked to Kent Riddle yesterday. He's a special teams coordinator. He was here under Hawk and then stayed under Pete and then left with Harsin. I mean, these are all community guys who want to make this happen for the region. He's going to have a honeymoon. And last night's game will not dictate whether or not he has a shorter or a longer leash. Look, he's going to come out against Colorado State. They're going to have guns a-blazing and things. He's going to right the ship. So I'm not worried about Brian Harsin. He's not worried about Brian Harsin. He's frustrated. He knows that his team is thin. You saw he has three offensive weapons. He's got Shane Williams, Rhodes, the little kid who just got lit up last night a couple of times over the middle, and every time he got hammered, he bounced up, ran back to the sidelines and said, put me back in, coach. I'm ready to go. He's got, you know, Jay Ajayi, and then he's got Matt Miller. Those are the only three offensive weapons that Grant Hedrick really has. So Brian Harsin is going to game plan. He's going to turn around. He's going to go back to the chalkboard and say, let's make this happen. This team is going to go to a good bowl game. They're going to be able to come back and recruit another good, talented team. And then let's see what happens a year from now, 2 years from now, and look back on this and say, yeah, remember when they got blasted in the second half by Ole Miss? That was the turning point. So I'm not concerned. He's not concerned. And I hope that Bronco Nation is not concerned.
Well, we're concerned about you. I hope you have a safe trip back.
Thanks, Kevin. Great talking to you. And we'll see you back in the City of Trees. I can't wait. What's the weekend supposed to be like? I hope it's going to be mild because yesterday here in Atlanta, it was in the lower 90s. The humidity was in the 50% range. My skin is very supple.
Yes.
And I'm ready to get back to some dry heat.
Oh, you're going to love it. Larry says it's going to be in the low 80s.
Perfect. I can't wait.
Well, Mark, thank you again. We really appreciate you taking time for us.
All right, my friend. Talk to you soon, Kevin.
Take care. There you go. Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about last night's game, and I know what you're saying. Well, Kevin, we've got 27 channels for sports. Why you? Are you selling out on us, Kevin Miller? No, but there's more to this. This does represent the community, represents who we are, and you don't have to be a sports fan to understand that every television was switched on to the Bronco game last night. Your thoughts on this, and really it goes down to business and the idea of, you know, is it fair that you have the Power Five doing what they're doing, taking away the opportunity for the mid-majors. You heard Dr. Kustra. He received his check last night from Chick-fil-A along with the chancellor from Ole Miss, $50,000 each, I think. Is that all they're getting for this? No, of course not. But it does come down to, you know, money versus education, money versus sports. And you saw those hits last night. I mean, a plethora of thoughts here this morning. If those guys aren't getting paid to take those hits or deliver them, maybe they should be. A lot going on here today at 580 KIDO. We are at the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. We've got our friend, photographer Jacob, with us. He's having a great time. The balloons are getting ready to launch. They're having the pre-launch briefing. By the way, as Scott Spencer told us, today is a very special day. For the first time in almost, what, 12, 13 years, over 50 balloons will be high above the trees here in the Treasure Valley. So as Larry Gebert always says, when you're driving, don't look at the balloons, pull over and enjoy them. And if you'd like to come out here, it doesn't cost you anything. As I was telling our ubiquitous presence, our house attorney, if you will, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Ann Morrison Park, he goes, where are you? I go, look for the lights, Alan. I get lost all the time. So we'd love to see you this morning. We're going to have a great time today here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Today is VIP day, and we're sending the entire fleet out this morning, 50 balloons.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, welcome back. We're at Ann Morrison Park. Our legal analyst, And I guess our football analyst, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, joining us, the ubiquitous presence here at the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Good morning.
Ubiquitous. Good morning, Kevin.
I can't spell it. I can barely pronounce it.
Well, it's early in the morning. It's still dark here.
It is still dark, but I dare I say you're probably the best-dressed person out here.
Well, on my way to work.
You know, that's what we like. We like when just people just swing in and hang out. And we're really not going to talk about legal issues or tough issues like we did yesterday. But the game last night, you were Facebooking me along with Dave Burnett. You're a big BSU fan. You love the team. Your thoughts on the game last night?
Well, it was a tale of two cities, or a tale of two halves. You know, we fought with a very powerful team, and we did very well in the first half. What amazed me looking at some of the tape this morning is really the tail of the game turned in the second half with the adjustments that Ole Miss made with our offense. You simply can't win a game when you've got four picks to deal with.
And
it wasn't that we gave up those picks. You know, they were poor choices that were made in the pass selections. You know, a couple of times our quarterback should have just simply ate the ball or threw it out of bounds, and he took a risk, and we paid a tremendous price for that, never got momentum.
Right, at 580-KIDO. By the way, if you want to sound off on last night's game, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, with us, Kevin Miller. But I think the issue that kind of got me was, I mean, this wasn't his first game as a start. You do get jittery, and you've got the number one recruit of the year. I can't pronounce the kid's name, but he was just incredible last night on the defensive line. He's like a Clowney-type player. For Ole Miss, in your face all the time, and, you know, you make those mistakes, you throw it up instead of eating it. It's easy for us to say. Not so easy to do when that big guy's coming to get you.
Well, it was interesting. Earlier in the day, I was watching my grandson playing in
I followed game. You on Facebook, yes.
And watching that struggle first, and at the middle school level. But the game is relatively simple with the X's and O's. And what amazed me was our inability to adjust to their passing offense and dealing with our secondary issues. I mean, that's an issue that Marcel Yates is going to have to address.
You know, and people that have listened to this program for many, many years know that I am not a homer when it comes to the Broncos. You were smacking me yesterday about where I'm from, whether it's Alabama or Ohio or gosh knows America. But don't you know, in fairness to the Broncos, don't you have to take a look at just eventually these five-star, four-star recruits are going to take their toll on you?
Well, that's...
I mean, sometimes you can coach people to be in the right position, but athletes make plays. That's why they're athletes.
Well, it's all about decision-making, and it's about experience, and it's drill, drill, drill. We always drive into the hearts and minds of the children, that our players, that you play like you practice. And I think we were ready. We played very closely, these folks, in the first half.
I think they were. I think Ole Miss was that bad in the first half.
Well, I don't think they were quite ready for us. But they did make adjustments, and that was clear. The second half really was a different game plan than what they were in the first. And they did pull away from us at the very end, but we were making mistake after mistake in the secondary.
I was surprised, though, that Ole Miss is a finesse team and didn't immediately try and bear down and use that physicality. I mean, it was funny because Coach Harrison, I thought, had a great game plan where he's throwing to the left, throwing to the right, doing his own thing, because you don't want to take on Ole Miss in that strength with that defensive line. However, Ole Miss was doing the same thing. If I got an offensive tackle, an offensive guard that's 300 pounds, 350, and he's going up against some guy 250, I'm driving him off the ball. And believe it or not, you saw in the second half, Jay Ajayi, he was going up the middle. I mean, there was some success. So we'll talk more about that with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, next, 580-5436. I think I'm going to blame the colors. What is up? Are we the Syracuse Orangemen now?
Oh, my goodness.
Where's the blue?
I agree. Totally.
Where's the blue?
Where's the blue?
By the way, Mark, are you excited about being here for the balloon launch?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a beautiful day. I was just talking to a pilot out here. They're ready to go. They're excited. The atmosphere here is party-like.
Have you been up in a balloon?
I have never been up in a balloon. Been in a helicopter, but never in a balloon.
Maybe we could make that happen.
I don't think so.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic, having a good time on a Friday. Like, you're coming in here early, and then you're going to go to work. You love being with the Miller Militia so much.
I've always been an early riser. 0400 is my reveille. So.
Right. You were up late last night, too. When do you sleep?
Sleep is overrated.
I guess you're not a grumpy guy like I am.
Well, I have 7 grandkids. You've got to be up for them.
I see. Well, that does help you. So, do you think the brand, by the way, we are taking your phone calls here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and talking a little bit about sports, but talking business, do you think that the brand last night was damaged based on the fact that they tried three years in a row, 3 losses? You know how it is. If you lose the big case, all of a sudden Perry Mason ain't calling you anymore.
Well, I look at it this way. You know, I was told as a young lawyer that there was never such a thing as bad press so long as they spelt your name right. You know, Boise State's name is out there. It's been out there for a while. You're going to have ups. You're going to have downs. That's just part of the game.
All right. There's a lot of bias, though, against them.
Of course. You know, I mean, it's always a case of the haves versus the have-nots. It's always been that way.
Right.
The game has been fixed ever since 1985 when BYU won the national championship.
Against a 6-5 Michigan team for the Holiday Bowl, which I was like, you, me, and 2 other people were watching.
They had an undefeated season, and no one else had an undefeated season that year. They won the national championship, and then the powers that be, starting with Oklahoma, Washington, and others, fought the fight saying we need to do something to fix this problem of allowing other teams into our honeypot.
Right.
And now we're talking millions upon millions of dollars. Just this one game was a $2 million payday for Boise State just to be there. And so when you're looking at money, you know, you're looking at a scheme that people have to try to keep the money. And I don't, when you say Boise State was somehow damaged, I look at the big picture. The more our name is out there, helps in the recruiting. We have one of the best recruiters in the country with us. You may not know that, but Marcel Yates, our defensive coordinator, is one of the best recruiters of all time for Boise State. He was one of the individuals that created the great teams of our past with Coach Peterson and his predecessor, Coach Hawk. It was Coach Yates that helped make that happen. And now he's risen to that the position of our DC, defensive coordinator. I think that it's going to take time for these guys to rebuild. We see that in professional sports. You win a Super Bowl, and the next year they may not even make it to the playoffs.
Right.
There's always this part of rebuilding. But I'm excited because the team is excited.
I don't think you've answered my question at 580KIDO. The loss to Michigan State, the loss to Washington, the loss last night, 33,000 butts in the seats. It's a business. It's a cutthroat business. There's a bias against the Broncos. People are already talking about, boy, I said back in the day, as if that were 100 years ago. I think it goes to show you just how tough it was for Peterson and those guys. Although, in fairness, they did have they re-rigged the system. What they did was they beat the Power Five at their own game, and that's why we have the new system now.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the case. Of course, no one was ever happy with the BCS, even those that were at the
top. I was happy with the BCS.
You were? Well, I don't. You stand alone. I don't know. Even the teams that were in that were considered the Power Five weren't happy with the BCS. That's what's brought about the change with the national championship game. You know, there needs to be a playoff system here. In all fairness, You take the top 10 teams and you play them off. You know, we do that in basketball to a larger degree. And that's the only chance that you really have to establishing a true champion.
Right, but back to the idea that the brand is damaged. The Power Five, they don't want BSU around. Three losses. I mean, then all of a sudden you're going to say, if I'm a big-name recruit because you have this autonomy, I'm going to go to the school that's going to give me more as opposed to Boise. What makes the Broncos so special is you take a look at where we live. We don't have a lot of crime. We don't have a lot of traffic. We don't have a lot of things. But we have great people. We have overachievers. And people are going to say, look, this university with 37,000-seat stadium should not be competing with the likes of Oregon. Or, look, you know, how embarrassing is it that BSU has been to the BCS more than Tennessee, more than these traditional powers? And so if I'm an AD at some of these places, I'm not going to give them access to the $2 million games. I'm going to say, that's great. I'd rather see Wisconsin versus LSU as opposed to BSU versus Ole Miss. I think what hurt them was the lack of a marquee opponent. Ole Miss will not do well in the SEC. They're looking at Texas A&M last night, since they're in that same division, Ole Miss is going to be number four if they're lucky.
Well, it is all about brand name. I mean, when you think of Tennessee, do you think of football, unless you're a volunteer, or do you think of whiskey?
I think of Rocky Top.
There you go, Rocky Top.
Yeah, that song Rocky Top.
There you go.
But moving on, and I'm going to get into your field of expertise. By the way, if you have a call on last night's game, 580-5436. Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law. Kevin Miller at the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Folks, you have time to come out here before the launch. Over 50 balloons today. That's right, over 50 balloons this morning. Why not be a part of history? Hasn't happened in 12 or 13 years. Legally, though, when we take a look at this cartel that we call the Power Five, is there anything, A, that can be done about it? Number one. And number two, as I talk to Dave Burnett a lot about this, these are still public universities. Our tax dollars go to pay those coaches, whether they're here or in Oklahoma.
Oh, totally wrong. Our tax dollars don't pay squat for these salaries. They are an independent entity of themselves with the revenue that they themselves generate. That's what paid essentially for the indoor stadium, with contributions, of course, from the boosters, as well as, well, when you look at all the bowl games. That's bowling is so important to the university, the revenue that they bring in.
But, Alan, they are state employees.
Well, that's true.
So they still have to be approved by the state, so we do fund them. Okay, how about this? How about we take away their tax-exempt status, their public, the tax dollars that go to the university, and they can be sustained by football?
The reason, going back to your question, though, about the Power Five, and is there anything that we can do, they're exempt from the antitrust provisions of the law. So there's none of us that can file a lawsuit that would be able to change that, because it's all about internal rules. And they make the rules, they follow their own rules, and that's what the discussion is today, is trying to eliminate teams like Boise State and others from being able to play these Power Five teams.
But they've bought off all the other teams. Utah's gone. TCU's gone. The Broncos, not so much. And here's the other thing, though, and I'm going to pull up the story for the next break for you, that there is a big wig attorney kind of like you, big star, that's going after the NCAA. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's go to Jim and Star at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller and Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Alan, you better be careful with Kevin. He knows his football, and he'll put you in your place real quick. Hey, I've got a different take on this thing, guys. I think this is a bit of a insider trading kind of thing. Like, if you look at Coach Pete knew that the stock was going to be devalued dramatically, and he got out.
He knew the gig was up.
Yeah, exactly. He got out at the
time. Do you blame him?
No, not at all.
I'll tell you, my dad does. He goes, bam, 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 bam. I go, whoa. Get that decaffeinated there, Pops. But anyway, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
No, I think Coach Pete knew. He knew exactly what was going on. He could foresee where everything was heading, and he went, you know what? I'm going to take a big, fat pay raise and this very attractive offer, and I'm out of here. And, you know, people need to just pull their heads out a little bit and realize it's just a game. It's college football. You know, why don't you learn a little something else going on in your state and the country, for a matter of fact, instead of focusing on one thing, a ball flying through the air. It's pretty sad. I mean, everyone needs their recreation, but, you know, everyone's so tuned out in this town because it's Bronco Nation.
I don't think you do if you're smacking them.
Oh, no, I do.
I don't think you do, Jim.
No, but we really need to wake up. We got way bigger things to worry about in the valley where we live, like all the immigrants coming in that from, you know, because we're a sanctuary state. You know, we need to worry about other things like that than how bad Boise State's going to be this year.
Jim, I have a question for you. When did you graduate from the University of Idaho?
Yeah, no kidding. You know what? I never went to college. I spent like maybe a half a semester playing around in colleges. College is for clowns.
All right, Jim from Star, spokesperson for higher education. Thank you, brother. Oh, he didn't even say goodbye. All right, 6:48 coming up. Tom Munns wants to smack Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. We are taking your thoughts on the BSU game, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and
on Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, living the dream. Blessed to be with you each and every morning. Live from the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. You can still come out like Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, has done, and check out the big 50 balloon launches that will be happening very soon. Let's go to the phones, and Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, wants to take issue with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Tom.
But wait a second. They'll see us before we see them. Never mind. That's a topic for a different day. Hey, how are you guys this morning? And
We're good. We're just adjusting Alan L. Morton's sound.
Well,
he's not used to being on location.
There we go.
Hello, Tom. How are you this morning? So I don't want to slam him, you know, K. Millie, but I have a question. And, Alan, this has been burning since you said this thing yesterday. And I didn't want to be a little off topic, so I had to check to see if it was okay to ask you. But you said something very interesting. You said if the laws regarding that shooting yesterday were put in place, that incident probably would never have happened. And I had a couple of thoughts, and you as an attorney, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. One of them is, laws, in my opinion, were, first of all, never meant to prevent crime. They were just to be able to try to deter crime. But, and the idea that we would have, that if the laws were put in place, that it never would have happened, would indicate that now that we have more laws than we've ever had, somehow we would be a more peaceful society. We wouldn't have any murder because there's crimes against murder and there's crimes against rape. And we've actually got an increase in crime rather than a decrease in crime because of the laws that are unconstitutionally created and laws that are written by the legislature and never been written. So my question basically is, can you justify what you're saying when you say if the laws were put in place to prevent crime, that it never would have happened?
Certainly. Tom, let me ask you this question. Do you think 9-year-olds should be able to drive cars at 80 miles an hour on the interstate?
I got a better question. That's usually a pretty common comeback, and I actually have a pretty good one for that. The question is the state have the proper jurisdiction to be able to determine what rights that a parent believes that it should have?
Do you think that the government has a right to regulate who drives on the freeway? Do you think a 9-year-old should have a driver's license?
Well, and here's the problem, Alan. It's not about what we think. It's about what the law states, and we have to understand what the Constitution was created for.
Well, we're talking about what the law should be now, shouldn't we?
That's what I'm talking about. When you have a Constitution that was specifically written to be able to limit government, it's with the understanding that people have never oppressed government. It's always been government that's oppressed the people. So when you take that mindset and you take the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, you have to ask yourself what lawful provision allows the government to be able to determine what right a parent should have in the teaching his child rights. And not to mention 100 years of Supreme Court cases that talk about the unlawful nature of a state legislature creating licensure in any form.
Well, again, my question posed to you is, do you think that the government has the right to be able to determine who should be able to drive a car and who shouldn't? Do you think a 9-year-old should have a driver's license to be able to drive 80 miles an hour on the interstate?
Okay. Well, I'm going to say this one more, a little bit more clear if I can. It's not.
Oh my gosh, is this the question morning show? Are we going to get any answers here?
Well, no.
580 KIDO.
I'm prepared to give an answer, but I have to give the question. Okay. The question should.
Well, we got traffic coming up, so we got to get an answer.
Objection. Not responsive to the question.
Does the government have the authority to be able to determine what rights belong to the people when their specific job was to protect the rights of the people, not protect them from themselves? My
All
answer
right.
is that if
hold
he's
on.
A nine-year-old,
yes.
he has the and the parent deems that he has the ability to be able to drive. Why shouldn't he? He hasn't committed a crime. And
All right,
he,
there you have it. He thinks nine-year-olds should be able to drive. Quickly, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
I'm almost speechless, but no, the government has the right to be able to determine who can drive and who shouldn't drive, just as they can determine who should possess a gun and who should. Minors at 9 years old shouldn't be able to use Uzis, period. That's what the law should be.
That's
Pardon
up
me?
To you, Alan.
No, that's up, that's up to the legislature.
What?
That's
it's
up
not,
to the legislature
you know
to make that
we
determination
have,
as they did it in Connecticut.
We have legislatures that admit to never have reading the bills they pass, and somehow law enforcement has a target put on their forehead because their job is to enforce the law that is unconstitutionally created because our legislature
All right, ding, ding,
bills.
Ding, ding, to traffic at 580KIDO. Hello, Dave. 580KIDO, more coming up from the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Good morning.